I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
Back to Stalking Time for the Moon Boys with me, David Baddiel.
Hello, and me, Tim Hinks.
See, we've got that sorted over the summer, at least.
It's good to be back, isn't it?
It's great to be back.
It's been a long time.
It's been a long time. We've had literally seven people on Twitter saying, where is Stalking Time for the Moon Boys? What's happened
to it?
And the truth is...
Two of those were us, so that's five.
Yeah. The truth is that we've been on holiday.
Yeah.
And also regular listeners, of which maybe four of those seven are regular, will know that in the last podcast we thought about rebranding, changing this podcast and making it like just me and you chatting and not about David Bowie, which of course is what it is anyway, but sort of bringing that to
should we draw attention to it?
Yeah. And
because when people do talk about the podcast, which, as you say, maybe not that often, but I'm into people and they say, oh, you know, haven't you? How do you manage to talk about Bowie for all that time?
Yeah.
The answer is, of course, well, we don't.
We don't. Yeah, we mainly don't.
We've probably done a solid three podcasts about Bowie.
If you actually edited down. Mm. Yeah, that's true. Although I've just looked at us on Twitter. Well, I put Stalking Time for the Moon Boys into the search window on Twitter. And on September the 13th, quite recently, a man called Andy McAfee, who's clearly was having a conversation, which I could go back and check, said to someone else, there's a really good and funny in-depth chat about the laughing gnome on a couple of the earlier episodes of Baddiel's. He does describe it as Baddiel's.
I can cope
Stalking Time for the Moon Boys podcast. But obviously, in the earlier podcasts, we were a bit more Bowie-ish.
Yeah, I think we had a lot to get out of our system, right? And of course, it's why we started in the first place.
Yeah, that was the idea.
It was, let's do a Bowie podcast.
Can I say, I think you shutting the door might have been a mistake. I'm already a bit hot.
Well, I've got worse news because I travel in on the Hammersmith and City line. I've learned a big lesson about this.
That is quite bad
which
news.
Is an over, so the good news, you'd think, is it's an overground line.
Yeah.
That feels good, right? Don't have to go into tunnels.
Better than underground.
Get to see London, West London.
Yeah, I think you're overstating it now.
It's just I don't like going underground.
I mean, it's not like let's go on holiday to the overground line.
Well, I haven't told you about my summer yet. That is what we did. But it's not underground. It's lovely.
Yeah. Well, one thing it isn't, the overground, it's not underground.
Well, it is sometimes.
Well, then what's the point of it?
But the problem is, for the last six, well, however long it's been sunny, you know, since sort of June or something.
Yeah.
If you get on it a bit late, I didn't realise why at first, everybody's sitting on the left-hand side.
Because of the sun?
Right.
Right.
If you sit on the right-hand side, as I often do.
Do they want the sun or are they avoiding the
sun.
All right, okay.
You get blasted by the sun. It's exactly what's happening now as I sit in this shed. The sun is on the back of my head.
Let's be on his bald head.
Well, yes.
I've recently become convinced that I am finally going bald, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm pretty expert at this.
I thought I was going to go bald because my genes suggested I should, because my dad is obviously bald. Both my brothers are bald, or certainly much less.
Why is your dad obviously bald? You mean to look at, he's obviously bald?
Yeah. I sort of assumed that the seven people who listen to this also probably have seen my dad, because I've talked about him a lot in my years on the television and also put pictures of him up on Twitter.
Yeah.
And he is, bald. So I've sort of thought, oh, that's good. I got away with that. I sort of slipped through the genetic net. I've got hair and I'm 55. But recently I've been noticing in the mirror, and I'm shooting a documentary at the moment on sort of... stills taken and whatever bits of film that it's looking a bit sparser.
Yeah, I must say, What's your mum's
she wasn't bald.
Well, my mum was totally bald. That was the giveaway.
Yeah.
What was your mum's dad?
Well, this is what people say. People say, don't they, that it comes through the mother's gene.
I'm saying it.
And they say that about Jewishness as well, don't they? Balding and Jewishness comes through the mother's gene.
Yeah.
My grandpa, on my mum's side, he wasn't completely bald. I might be going the way he went, which was a kind of widow's peak.
Yeah.
Quite high up his head. But you wouldn't say he was completely bald. I mean, certainly your head's got your
Mine's
hair
gone.
Has gone back further than my grandpa's did, and he's dead.
That doesn't seem like. I mean, yeah.
I mean, what I'm saying is, there's no coming back from that. If he was still alive, you could say, well, I mean, he's 112.
Yeah,
you know, it might be the case that when he's 127, he'll be as bald as me.
Yeah,
but it's gone. That race has been. He's been won by him.
More bald than a dead 100-year-old.
You're more bald than my grandpa Ernst ever went. Is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, you know.
I mean, he had other stuff in his life that was definitely you came out on top. Like, for example, you didn't have to.
I wish I did come out on top.
You didn't have to go through the Nazis.
I didn't, but I did go bald quite early, which I'm not suggesting.
Where did
in the
you go
scheme
bald?
Where?
No,
on the head.
Well, London. Oh, it wasn't London, actually. It would have been either Scotland or... No, I didn't say where anyway.
Yeah.
I said when did you go bald?
So it's a two-stage process, actually, sort of Brexit-like. Ooh. It's basically, there's a first bit...
Is Brexit a two-stage process?
Well, what I mean is...
I'd say it's about 137-stage process.
I see it, if only I was more involved, because I see it as two-stage. I see it up to the Article 50, up to the October.
Yeah.
And then we get a deal.
Sorry, you're talking now?
Yeah, I'm saying you get a deal now.
Okay.
And then you have to work out, once you've got that deal, all the sort of ramifications.
Okay.
I'm oversimplifying, but it's two-stage.
Okay, so how does that relate to your hair?
Right, so there were two stages to my hair's regression.
Okay. Was it prorogued? It looks pretty prorogued, I have to say. When's it coming back?
I was toying with saying I love that band. It's not quite enough like the Pogues.
No, it's not.
So
I would say about your hair, I don't think it's suspended. I think it's permanently banished.
but when I was... when I was 20, 21 at university... I can picture this. I can sort of see this in my mind.
Picture the scene now for our listeners.
I'm in my hall of residence in my room. It's Christmas 1986. So I'm 21, and I'm getting ready to go out to a party.
Yeah.
And
do you want to get a Bowie reference in, just for those who do still listen to this thinking it's about David Bowie?
I like David Bowie.
No, I just wondered if playing in the background is 1986.
Playing in the background
beginners.
Is absolute beginners.
Right.
I mean, if you like.
Yeah.
I used a bar of soap to put my hair up. Yeah, I'll tell you who I was trying to channel, Ian McCulloch.
We were all trying to channel Ian McCulloch for large parts of the 80s.
Right, so I was trying to Ian McCulloch for Mecca and the Bunnymen. And I remember the hair going standing up as it did with soap. And then what I remember is seeing the corners, the sort of widow's peak, is that
the skin.
Well, no, what I mean is, but the what do you call the line
temples?
Where your hair is? No, the line that the hair makes. What's that called? Not fringe. You know, where your hair, the follicles of the hair create
a line.
Hairline.
Your hairline. Right, hairline.
So my hairline, and in the two corners.
They would form the V of the widow's peak.
Right, it just seemed to be going back a bit. And it was the first time I'd really noticed it.
Right.
And I remember, it's hard to get over this on an audio medium, but I remember using my finger, putting the base, I'm showing you, but this doesn't
help. It's okay.
The base of my finger on my eyebrows.
Okay, to see how far back it
and
went.
And I could touch the hairline with the tip of my index
finger.
Yeah,
so you used your finger as kind of ruler to see how far it went back.
And I remember over the course of university feeling that finger could no longer touch the hairline. Do you see what I mean?
So it's going
quite quickly.
Yeah. Right. So you did that quite a lot.
I did that in lectures. I remember in lectures just tapping, you know.
So you'd put, because I suppose you could feel it, could
you?
Yeah,
you could feel it.
You could feel, because if I do that, I have to say, I do feel hair.
Yeah, God, well, that's extraordinary.
From my eyebrow.
Well, you're fine then. So you're in a better position than me.
I mean, it's quite thin, but I can feel hair.
Right, you're in a better position than me when I was 21 at Bristol University.
Okay, well, what other respects?
What?
No, maybe in all respects.
Maybe in all respects,
it could be. Yeah.
But,
okay, so no, I'm actually interested, right? Was that, like, traumatic?
I can honestly, I don't know what, I worry this says something about me, because it wasn't really traumatic.
Really?
As in, I don't know why I didn't find that, I can honestly say.
Well, it must have been a bit traumatic, otherwise you wouldn't have been putting your finger
up there,
checking it.
Definitely.
Fairly often.
Let's hope that's not the moment someone comes in on this podcast. I was putting my finger up there to check it.
To check if there was hair up there.
I was in lectures at the time.
Yeah, and no matter how much you put your finger up there, you couldn't find any hair up there.
I did it without drawing any attention to myself. That is a trick.
Yeah.
And I, obviously I was concerned about it, but it wasn't a thing where I felt, yeah, I don't know, it wasn't sort of what you might imagine, a sort of young, sure, good-looking 21-year-old guy to be, you know, I wasn't worried.
The world
sort
of super worried.
I never lost, oh, it's always at your feet, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true.
So I didn't worry about it unduly, but in about, over the course of that universe of 3 years, it basically seemed to stop. So I then spent my 20s...
With sort of hair.
All
right. And see, I've never seen you with hair.
No, I had hair in my 20s.
You might have shown me a picture of you with hair at some point.
Yeah, I definitely didn't have one with me, but I will show you. Okay. Yeah, I had hair. And it sort of did start...
I think it would be quite funny if you did.
What?
If you were a bald bloke who thought, I'll carry around with me a picture of myself with hair, just so that people accept that I wasn't always like this.
Yeah. No, well, I definitely wasn't always like this. Surely you must know that.
Well, interesting. I did Giles Corran's podcast yesterday, okay, which he goes on about a lot because it's more successful than this one. I mean, not
is specifically, still,
not specifically this one. Mm. Well, it's backed by the Times. Oh, so that's one of the things we did wrong when we set up this podcast is we didn't get it backed by some major mainstream
media thing. Yeah, we said we didn't
want to go corporate. Yeah, we kept it real. Mm. As a result, we've got seven listeners. But meanwhile...
I think we've got more than seven listeners.
No, we have got more than seven. Mm. But he says he's got 30,000. He also had a dad, Alan Corran, who went bald very early on. And he said something which was interesting. He said, so my dad went bald when he was like 22, which so did my dad.
Wow.
And so he became like a bald person. Like he had a bald personality from then on.
Wow.
And I agree with that, actually. I sort of know what he means.
What's my bald personality?
Well,
mean?
You're bald, so perhaps you don't know. Perhaps it's just your default position. Right. Having said that, I'm not sure it is, because I think it's a 70s thing. I think men like my dad and Alan Corran, who went bald when they were sort of 26 in the 70s, that was a sort of thing, like a look, like Eric Morecambe.
It was a hairy time, basically.
No, but there are more bald men. I mean, there were. This is a very old canard, very old comedy trope, so I apologise for bringing it up, but it is true that, for example, when I did fantasy football, one thing we noticed, one thing we brought to the fore, was that there used to be more bald footballers in the 70s. Quite a common thing. Alan Gilzine.
Yeah.
You know, Ralph Coates.
Charlton's.
You know, probably Charlton, blah, blah, blah. It used to be a real thing.
Right,
now...
Right.
There's virtually no bald footballers.
So
I mean, the few footballers who are going bald shave off all their hair, so you don't have the comb over that Bobby Charlton had,
Robin.
Made it more obvious.
Robin,
he did go bald, but I mean, again, not when he was like 24, when he was sort of 31.
Sorry, I didn't know that was an old trope, because I'm kind of very interested in that. So who is a famous young bald footballer? Have you got one?
No, yeah. I mean,
who have we got now?
I can't think of anyone off the top of my head, actually. But there must be the ones who shave their heads. But I mean, some of them shave their heads now.
Yeah.
Well, they're not bald. That's just a thing that they
Wayne
do.
Wayne Rooney. Although,
yes,
again,
Wayne
not
Rooney
young,
but
young,
hair transplant, but, you see.
Right.
But you're right. Well, Wayne Rooney is almost like a 70s footballer.
Yes.
In almost all respects.
Yeah.
But so I think people were more bald in general. And also, I think they were more like accepting of the bald thing. You know, so like that look, that Eric Morecambe look, glasses, bald, often with sideburns.
Yeah.
That's what I think Giles Corran means. Sometimes a comb over, but just generally, or maybe a bit of fluff. That was generally, was like a character, that a persona you could be as a bloke in quite young in 1975. And that would be like, no one would think that was like a bit weird. Like, no one is like that on telly now. Like, who is bald on telly now? Who's a bald television presenter?
Okay, that's really interesting. Okay, there must be one.
Well, there aren't really. I mean, there's people who are balding. Like Alan Carr's a bit balding.
Right. But, I know what you mean.
It's really unusual.
Because, funny enough, I've thought the opposite.
What?
Which is that I thought I was bald at exactly the right time, in the right
21?
Era. No, I mean...
That's not the right time.
Shot where? Glasgow. No, I meant in the knee. I felt I was bald at the right time.
In the 80s?
80s and 90s, particularly.
Why?
Well, I wasn't that bald in the 80s. I was more bald in the 90s.
This makes you very much a glass half full man.
Right.
I mean, most people would say it's never great going bald, but you managed to make it like a thing that was appropriate for the time.
Well, I'll tell you why. Yeah. By the way, once at a conference...
Was Jimmy Somerville that big an influence on you?
I was once at a conference and said, whether you see the glass half full
your
or... This came to me,
your
and I know it's terrible.
Dotes are just the best.
This is a terrible thing, because I said it out loud, because it sort of came to me, and I said, whether you think a glass half is half full or half empty depends on how thirsty you are.
Right.
And I thought that was quite a profound thing
that
to say.
That is quite profound.
But it literally landed like a massive lead. I mean, not as in people booed me. But it I could
tell.
Can
you imagine if they did? Shit.
I could tell
off.
People thought, yeah.
Yeah, but were you trying to make a larger point? Or were you just trying to say something like a Chinese proverb?
Well, I think there's something in it, which is if you take some situation, imagine you're a media organisation and you're thinking, what do we do about Netflix and all those things? You know, is that, do you think a glass half full or half empty? Is it an opportunity or not? And the reason I said, well, it depends where you're starting from.
Yeah.
You know, you could see it half full if you've reasons to be cheerful, and if not. So whether you're thirsty or not is how you think about it. If I'm not thirsty, I look at that glass and think, yeah, it's sort of half full. I don't need it right now.
Right.
So there's loads in there. I'm not even thirsty.
If you're
really thirsty, you think, Christ, there's only half a glass.
Yeah. You know what? When you say it landed really badly, what were you fucking expecting? Because, I mean, I don't disagree with what you're saying, but
you
it's
mean.
Not like a laugh.
No,
line.
I wasn't expecting.
Woof, that's really gone well. You know, at the very best, you get some people raising an eyebrow thinking, oh, yeah, that's interesting. That's the best you're going to get.
I wasn't thinking it was
going to... What else were you expecting?
Someone said it. I don't know, I just remember feeling the atmosphere at the time, thinking, I might not say that again. It felt like it was quite profound.
Actually, I was... putting together, it was my daughter's 18th over the summer.
I saw that, many happy returns.
Yeah.
It was earlier in the summer.
Earlier in the summer, always 31st. And I was putting together...
Late in the summer.
Yeah, it was too difficult. I tried to put together a film of just footage of her over the years, and I couldn't do it because I'm not very good at video editing.
Right.
In the end, I just did a sort of photo montage.
Then you were connected to people who did know about how to edit film together.
I couldn't be bothered to farm
enough.
It out.
No.
Possibly have to pay for it. So anyway, I was trying to do it, and I had some footage of my mum, now sadly no longer with us, holding her as a baby, and she describes herself as... This is so much my mum. I'm very much a glass half empty kind of person, but she says it in a very upbeat way, which means she's got it wrong. She's definitely got it wrong. And actually, my dad, before he has dementia, starts going, what do you mean? And she goes, I'm a very much a glass half empty kind of person. And I'm watching it thinking, someone needs to say she means half full, but she's got it wrong. Right? Well, that never happened, and now sadly can't be corrected. Donnie's a baby, she doesn't even know about this. She's probably thinking, depends on how thirsty you are. Yeah. I'm thirsty, where's my mum's
tits? You can sort of see how she... You can sort of see how she might be... She could mean, because I've just had a great big glug of it, and it's lovely, and I...
Right.
You know.
No, she got it wrong, definitely.
No, I get that she gets wrong, but
I can
mind,
see it in my mum's eyes.
Oh, I see, and she has
and
to stick to
it. She's saying
it,
that there's a slight sense of, like, have I got that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because also, I was thinking that there may be times when it is good to have a glass, like being an air steward, for example, taking a glass to someone.
Yeah, it's better to be half empty.
A full glass carrying across a airplane.
But if you're
it's
probably in business class most of the time. I mean, sometimes in first, but, you know, often in business. I mean, I think you'd expect a full glass of water if you ask for a glass of water from a steward.
I think that would be really annoying for everyone because you don't want a full glass on a flight that's a bit wobbly, do you? You definitely don't.
It really would be I just flew back the other day from America.
Right. And you got a glass of water filled to the brim.
Well, not filled to the brim, but it wasn't half full stroke empty. It was definitely at least three quarters full.
Right.
I make a cup of tea sometimes for my wife, Wenna Banks. I'll be honest with you, she makes a cup of tea more often for me than the other way around.
I have the same thing, by the way.
Because she gets up in the morning earlier than me and makes me a cup of tea. But that's not the point. The point is, when I do make a cup of tea for her, I have always been of the opinion that you definitely don't want any cup full to the brim.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. A, because there's too much liquid spillage possibility.
Yeah.
B, because it sort of looks a bit too hot to me. It sort of suggests it's going to be too
fuller.
Hot. If it's full, it suggests it's too hot. You sort of imagine
I don't get that.
I know that doesn't quite make sense, but that's how I feel about it.
Hang on.
And also, I'll tell you the other reason, is I often think...
It looks too hot if it's full.
I often think, well, it's a cup of tea, and maybe...
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The strength of it wants to be adjusted. Maybe I haven't got the strength right.
Oh, yeah, you've got no flexibility.
So if I leave a bit of space, no wiggle room. She could put a bit more milk in if she wants to, right?
Right.
So I think all those things...
Or you could do your own milk.
No, I don't do that. I make the whole tea. If I'm going to make a cup of tea, I make the whole cup of tea. Then I hand it to her, and it is probably slightly less than she would have. And she always says, is there a war on... Meaning, have you rationed my fucking cup of tea? Because, like, it's not the whole cup.
Wow.
And I always want to say, now I've quite thoughtfully... All these things, too hot, you know, adjustability, flexibility,
but she really
and not full
it.
To the brim.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's all been on my mind, but she takes it as like, you haven't, you know, bothered to make me a full cup of tea.
Would you describe that tea as half full?
No, it's not half full.
But it's...
It's just, it's got like, there's definitely a noticeable rim of white china before the tea liquid appears.
Oh, fancy.
Yeah.
China.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, not china. All cup is china, isn't it? All cups are china, aren't they? Is that fancy?
I'm going to take your first phrase, which was all cup is China. I'm going to have to go with that, I'm afraid, your first answer.
All cup is China. Isn't that true? Isn't that correct? can we move on from this? Not to Bowie, but to tell you, I'm going to tell you a story. This morning, I went to my child's school to listen to Keir Starmer, the Labour Party politician, talk. Mm. It was actually very interesting. But that's not what I wanted to tell you. It's on my way out... I bumped into the brother of the person who owns this shed.
Right.
I bumped into Paul Fincham, who is a sometime player in my football team.
And we should maybe, I'm sure people, Peter Fincham is my business partner and we record in his shed.
The seven people who listen to this, I'm going to say
it again. I guess they'll know. But
they know that Peter Fincham, who used to be controller of BBC One and indeed controller of ITV.
That's right.
And now works with you at Expectation, owns this shed where we do this. So I bumped into his brother, Paul Fincham. I'm going to tell a story, which I do apologise, Paul, if you're listening, because I don't think you know this, but it is funny. I bumped into Paul another time in a club in London, not a sort of nightclub, because I don't go to them.
Right.
Soho House. It's like a club where media twats go.
I'm aware of it.
Yeah, you're aware of it. And I was quite tired. And Paul sat down next to me. I wasn't meeting Paul. He just sat down next to me. We're having a nice chat. Mm. But he's telling me about some film he's working on, because I think he writes music.
Right.
He writes music for films. And I'm sure he's great at it. But anyway, he's telling me about it. And... I slightly drop off while he's telling me about it. Sorry, Paul. I mean, literally close my eyes. I'm out of the room for maybe 15 seconds, right?
And he's still talking to you?
He's still talking, yeah. I mean, I might have had my eyes open.
I was going to say, because when you say sorry, Paul, he presumably knew.
No, he didn't know. I can explain why.
Yeah, okay.
I think I just shut my eyes, or possibly even my eyes were open, but I was like not in the room for a second.
Right,
I lost consciousness.
Yeah. Did you dream about anything?
I might have done, but... Well, my point is, when I woke up, I mean, literally, this isn't really asleep and waking. It's like a moment of, some, you know, basically daydreaming, blah, blah, blah. Paul was saying, so what do you think? Right? And I looked at him, he went, so what do you think? I went, huh? He went, so what do you think? And I went, yeah, great, because that's what you do when you, rather than saying...
He says, I don't think so.
Sorry, I was asleep.
Well, we're also saying, about? I don't think so.
No. Well, that's much safer, of course, if you do
I suppose
that.
It
but
is.
Unfortunately, then he's like, say, why? And then you think, oh, God, I have to admit, I was asleep.
Yeah, it's easier
It's easy to go yes, because you think, I might be able to pick up from the ensuing conversation what it's about. And unfortunately, I did pick up what it was about, which was he was talking about the director he'd just worked with on this film.
Right.
And, like, apparently he'd said, so he's got some new project, and you might be really great to write it and work on it.
Oh, Christ.
That's what he was saying. And what do you think? And I didn't know he'd said that, so I just went, yeah. and over the next sort of 20 minutes, I had to sort of, you know, make my way into understanding the conversation.
Yeah,
pick bits up
there.
And that became clear to me that that's what it was. And I thought, well, I don't know anything about this director, and I've just agreed to like work with him.
That's the next
if it's 2 years
film,
it's
life.
2 years of my life. Yeah. So Paul, I think, said that he would like send me stuff about it. I think he did, and I think I just never got back to him about it.
Wow.
Because I just like thought I've agreed to something, but I was asleep. I can't go through it. So if you're listening, Paul, I do apologise, and I now admit that that's what happened, and that's why I never.
I wonder why.
I apologise to the director, who Paul probably said, David's really keen. David really wants to work on this.
He's been strung along for. Well, how long ago was this?
This is like a couple of years ago.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely haven't worked on it, unless I've been sleepwalking.
Yeah, that's
through it.
Would you? Because there is a backfiring. If you, I agree. If you say yes, it's better when you wake up.
Yeah.
What you don't want is to wake up and say, "What do you think?" And you say yes, and he says, "Really?
Yeah.
Are you sure?"
Yeah. I mean, you don't have to be asleep, really. You have to be not listening, You just have to like not be listening for a second. And that, I think I've done that quite a lot. I've said,
right.
You know, I mean, the other thing that happens to me a lot is that I meet people, I can't remember their names. Right, and this is a slight problem. Yeah. I mean, as I get older, obviously, but also, I am still just about famous enough that people do generally know my name.
Yes.
And I don't mean people who've never met me. I mean people who I have met, but who I then meet again. This happened the other day. I was at Peter Bradshaw's, he's the Guardian Cinema Critics, book launch, and a guy came and started talking to me, and I thought, I do know this bloke, but I don't remember his name.
Mm.
And then Edgar Wright, who I do remember, probably because he's famous, he's a film director, came and said hello. And then I just didn't introduce this bloke.
Yes.
And that's really awkward. I could sort of see him
with his
eyes saying, "What, well, you know, introduce me to Edgar Wright." Right. But I thought I can't because I don't know your name.
But I
don't want to say,
"No,
this is Edgar. This is, I'm sorry, I can't remember your name."
No, so what I do in that situation is basically go, "Hey, this is Edgar." And then just, although there's a marginally bit rude, that person then says, "Oh, hi, I'm Peter."
You see, you've got such facility. Of course, podcast talked about the time I can remember your name.
I do.
Not on the podcast. I've always remembered your name on the podcast.
No, you've been very good about that.
Yeah, I mean, even when I introduce you, like right at the start.
Can I now take this name badge off? it's been
pretty annoying. All those times right at the start where we've stumbled on introducing you, it's not because I can't remember your name. That only happened once outside your house. And it was quite early on in our relationship.
Yeah, it was. No, I remember. Well, I mean, I didn't know you had done it at the time.
No, but been through it. I mean, and now the people didn't hear that podcast thinking, "Oh, I want to hear that story," but I'm not telling it again. I don't know if I'm on Taskmaster at the moment.
Mm.
And
I hear you're doing very well.
Well, I'm doing very badly, but I'm doing well.
That's it. I heard you're doing badly.
I'm doing terribly. Something. But at the same time, like Alex Horn, I can't tell you where I ended up, but it's not top.
Right.
But Alex Horn, in his roundup, says about my position, but you've won the nation's hearts.
Right.
And it's interesting because it was quite a sort of revelatory experience for me doing Taskmaster.
Right.
Those of you who don't know, it's a show on Dave, that's ninth series now. Dave's most successful.
Yeah, it's huge. Show. It's a big show.
And Alex Horn does it with Greg Davis, and five comedians do sort of silly tasks on it. And we film those, and then they're played to an audience, and we chat about them, and Greg Davis gives us marks, and that's the basis of the show.
Yeah.
But I have discovered on it, I've always thought of myself as being a bit, possibly, on the spectrum.
Right.
Morwenna is convinced that I'm really quite on the spectrum.
Right.
But Taskmaster made me think, maybe she's more right than I realise, because virtually every task I do in a cack-handed, odd way that I thought at the time was perfectly normal, and everyone else does completely differently.
Oh, wow.
And then the audience piss themselves laughing.
Right. Oh, that's awful.
That's why I'm doing well. Why I'm doing well.
When you
in
say,
"In a sense, I'm doing well," and I'm doing badly, but people seem to like it.
Do you mean you go
like
about
it.
Practical? To, is that what you're getting
in a very, very stupid way?
Okay.
Yeah. But I honestly,
what's an example? Like,
it's really hard to. Well, right. I mean, for example, last week, me and Joe Brand were on a team,
right?
And we had to do about seven tasks.
Right.
They were quite simple tasks, but they sort of followed on each other. And one of them involved just making a sandwich and making a cup of tea, whatever. Mm. And then when we made it, I ate the sandwich and had the cup of tea and sat there drinking it. And the audience were pissing themselves laughing. And the reason was that I hadn't realised that it was a timed task. Right?
Okay.
It never occurred to me it was a timed
task.
And no one had told me it was a timed task. and that might have seemed obvious to everyone else. It clearly was obvious to everyone else. Yeah. Because, like, what's the point of it? Otherwise, you're supposed to do these seven tasks as quick as
you mean.
But it hadn't occurred to me.
Right.
And so what they actually did was, which was funny and I made a point of talking about it, was they played the task on VT and then they put what I call silly old person's music on it.
Yeah.
Sort of like, I was once trying to put library music on something and I wanted something that for like a sort of slightly silly old person walk.
Yes.
And I found this thing called Lugubrious Baby Elephant. That was
commercial music, you know.
How it was registered as a sound thing in the library. Lugubrious Baby Elephant, which was sort of boom, ba-dum, 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 right. And that's the music that they basically played behind me and Joe having a cup of tea and a sandwich and not quite realising that we were supposed to do it against time.
Yeah,
so there's a lot of me thinking, oh, I didn't quite realise that in it.
Yeah,
I can't give away too much.
No, don't worry. No, that's okay.
But I mean, quite a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, similarly, and I think on the same show, you were blindfolded, and you had to put ice lollies in rainbow order, right? Like you had to stick them in something.
Roy Jabiff.
That was brought up, but you're blindfolded, right? And you had to somehow work out the rainbow order of lollies. Now, how would you do that?
Well, sorry, they're in what?
They're stuck there in a random order. They're sticking up in a thing with holes in it. Yeah?
Yeah.
And they're in a random order. You have to rearrange them blindfold into rainbow order.
So if you're blindfold, how do you...
Well, that's... How would you do it? I mean, everyone else did do this.
No, I think I might be a similar... I mean, I don't think I've...
You can't realise what you would do either.
I don't know how I'd even... I'm blindfolded and there's lollipops in front of me.
Different flavours.
Different flavours.
Yes.
So okay. So.
I didn't give you the important piece of information, which is
it's entirely
on the
random
spectrum for me. Sorry. Yes.
Right.
Different flavours.
So okay, if it's different flavours, I think what I would do is I would start looking for raspberry.
How would you look for raspberry?
Taste them.
Yes. Okay. That's what
I want
to say.
Right.
Yes.
You didn't taste them.
No, I sniffed them. And Alex Horn says to me, why are you sniffing them? And I say, I'm trying to work out what flavour they are. And then I realise, I can lick them. Right.
I have, as you know, tremendous respect for you and I love you as a friend, but maybe you're just an idiot.
Yeah, well, that's the point.
That is the point,
is that I actually say, I can't remember if the episode has gone out now, but I say in the studio bit, I've been watching myself on task and I think of myself as a really clever bloke. It turns out I'm a fucking idiot. And I think I am a fucking idiot in some respects, which is I think my cleverness, which does exist...
That's interesting.
My cleverness is quite boundaried.
Right.
In that it's about words, storytelling, and ideas. It's really, really not about practical tasks.
I think most revealing is when you said there's some lollipops and put them in rainbow order, you got a blindfold on and didn't. And then, and when I get it out of you that you can taste them, you say, you've got it. I said, well, no, got what? Well, I sniffed them. The whole thing is, I see, that is a disaster. Wow.
I know. I think there's an answer question, which is, why were you not traumatised by going bald? And is it just because you are a glass half empty, full kind of guy? Hair half full.
Are you asking me why I wasn't traumatised?
Is that, I think that's.
Because I'm glass half full. I see what you mean.
Yeah, is that what
I
we
don't
decided?
Think I am glass half full.
We decided.
If you mean that I'm just a sunny, optimistic, I'm bald, but that's fine.
Yeah.
It wasn't really like that. I think there's a thing about maybe I'm quite good with, if I can't change something.
Right.
Maybe I just thought.
That's interesting. Right, you say that. I think that is what glass half full is about. In fact, in terms of your deep Zen realisation, which is why it didn't get a laugh. It's a deep Zen realisation. It's not a joke. The glass half full, the glass half empty depends on how thirsty you are. I mean, literally, it's something that Confucius might have said. Is correct in terms of the deeper understanding of life, particularly seen through a kind of Buddhist point of view, which is that things that you can't change, you just have to accept.
Yes. Should I say the other thing about being bald?
Yeah.
Which is you don't
have to wear a hat.
You could wear a hat.
You almost never wear a hat.
I don't really wear hats. I mean, do I wear a hat?
That's because you're accepting of it. You see, you're not like George Galloway.
No, I definitely
George
don't do
Galloway
that.
And other people who wear hats to say, I'm not bald.
Yes.
Even though they are. Or what are they thinking? They're thinking that people think, perhaps he has hair. I don't know, because he's got a hat on.
Well, they're just taking hair out of the equation, aren't they?
Not, though, because these are people who are known to be bald.
Oh, I see what you mean. Well, it makes...
I mean, Nick Hancock, let me just tell you something. This is a well-known comedy thing, well, certainly for people who were on the comedy circuit in the late 80s, which is now obviously not that many people. But Nick Hancock, the ex presenter of They Think It's All Over. Mm. He was a very good friend of mine. He used to do, famously amongst comedians, a 14-minute set, which he never changed, at the Comedy Store and stuff.
Right.
And it was always hilarious. The big moment in hilarity in it, which now feels a bit out of date, but it was very funny, was he would say of Bobby Charlton, he would say, the thing about Bobby Charlton is, with the comb over, he thinks we don't know he's bald.
Yeah, right.
He thinks that we look at him and think, oh, look, there's Bobby Charlton.
Yes.
He's got a good head of hair, hasn't he?
Yeah, right? Amazing. Yeah.
Amazing, right? And presumably people with comb overs did think that. And similarly, people with hats who are bald,
I have a different...
they are clearly thinking, well, maybe they think I've got
hair.
I have
a slightly different perspective, which is that when, a bit like the tree falling down that no one hears.
Yes.
Or sees, sorry.
Hears or sees.
Oh, sorry, the point do you hear it? Yeah. That's exactly the point.
Yeah.
That it falls down, but do you hear it? When you're bald, there are very, very few reminders that you're bald.
No, there's your face in the mirror.
Right, so...
there's coldness on your head. There's water falling on your head when it rains.
Well...
there's the... you said the sun. Earlier you said the sun is on my head.
As a bald person, I'm telling you...
okay, sorry.
No,
and this is like me saying... as I occasionally do to someone who says anti-Semitism is not a problem, I say, well, I'm Jewish, how dare you?
Yes.
It's a bit like this, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I'm saying I'm bald. I'm think bald. I have
you
the
own,
right
you
to...
own it, so fine. Yeah.
So I'm telling you that you're right about the examples you give, because, you know, you do indeed see yourself in the mirror.
Yeah.
But you don't see yourself in the mirror that much, or I don't. Okay. I don't see myself in the mirror that much.
Yeah.
Raindrops on the head, I sort of get what you mean, but, you know...
there's a song about it.
Doesn't.
Although, almost definitely all the people who've sung that song are not bald.
They're not bald. Also, it doesn't keep falling on my head. It's every now and again. So most of the time, like now, I'm looking at you. Is it if I'd drawn a sort of something on my face, I would have forgotten by now that I'd drawn it. You'd be thinking he's drawn something on his face.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what. You originally brought this whole thing up because you're sitting quite near the window and the sun is on your
plate. I didn't connect it to my baldness.
Oh, I thought you did.
No, I think you did.
Oh, did I? Well, I can tell you now...
Yeah, it is connected.
I can tell you now that throughout this podcast, I have been looking at you and thinking, I'm slightly blinded by the reflection of the sun on Tim's head. I mean, it is really, wouldn't you say, it's very bright. It's kind of amazing. Yeah, now that I look at it, it's like, you know you're not meant to look directly into the sun.
Right.
I think I'm not meant to look directly at your head when
but
the sun's on
it. But you are making
it.
My point for me, which is why you've been...
your point is very, very visible. It's so visible.
You've been thinking that. I've been sitting here thinking, David seems pretty comfortable today. It's a bit hot, but I'm not bald. I don't even think
I'm
not...
over there and close my eyes and I'm not looking directly in the sun, it's like I've been looking directly in the sun.
Right. But all you're doing is making the point that I'm bald, which we know.
Yeah.
It's just that I don't think about it very much because I don't really see it.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't really see that I'm bald.
No, but I just think you're more comfortable with
and
yourself.
Believe it or not, apart from when I'm sitting with you, people don't go, you're bald.
I think you're more comfortable with it than a lot of people are, which I think is a good thing.
We're going to try and end now by finding a song that's relevant to baldness and hair. Is that,
Okay.
We're not saying it's Bowie.
Yes. Okay, so here are some possibilities.
I mean, obviously it's Hair the Musical, but...
we've got Almost Cut My Hair, Crosby, Stills and Nash, which I've always quite liked.
Okay, don't know that.
I Think I'm Going Bald by Rush. There's a song called Hair by Lady Gaga. Another song called Hair by Little Mix. Pull My Hair. Long Haired Lover from Liverpool.
Of course. Yeah.
I Am Not My Hair by India Irie.
Mm-hmm. Statement of fact.
Hair Pie by Captain Beefheart.
Well, that would be terrible, wouldn't it?
Yes, that'd be terrible. Captain Beefheart is one of those people who...
No, literally, I'm
always
happy to declare,
terrible.
I just...
always terrible, and... and cunts will say, oh, he's the greatest thing ever. That's like one of the things. They'll say that, what's it called?
Trout Mask Replica.
Trout Mask Replica is a masterpiece. And you listen to it, you think,
you know what,
perversely, it really
isn't. Do you know why I know it's terrible? I've never listened to it.
No,
I've
tried it quite recently. I thought,
of course, for
heaven's sake. I Think I'm Going Bald by Rush. Shall we try it?
Let's try it.
Is this how you felt?
What?
Is this how you felt in 1980, whatever it was?
It's like an AC/DC song.
Well, they're a heavy metal band.
Yeah, but they were more...
well, they're kind of progressive rock stroke heavy metal.
It feels...
I'd love it if we did a sort of recreation of you at Bristol University checking your hair with your fingers and this was playing in the background. Or even you were singing it.
Absolutely.
Could you join in?
It's terrible.
I'm checking my hairline with my fingers. And now I'm off to Clifton.
Oh, That was where I was going, probably.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.